Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Friday evening edition of the Yard Minute. It has been a busy, busy day over at jeanspage.com. Day started very, very early. We had a couple stories up before 1 a.m., another one before 8. We do more before breakfast than some people do all day. Been a busy, 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 busy day. Lot to cover since we were together last, and feels like it's been forever since I recorded, because I recorded Tuesday evening, and so now here it is Friday evening. But I hope you guys had a great Christmas holiday, for those that observe, and those that don't, still hope you had a good week, nevertheless. But yeah, it's been a good time. Seen a lot of people messaging me and tagging me in photos that you got the dude for Christmas. Hope you enjoy every word. I worked exceptionally hard on that, and we had to work exceptionally hard to make sure that most of our merchants stayed in stock that final week before Christmas. You guys did a great job. Matter of fact, I went down Christmas Eve and spent some time with Miss Carolyn Obity down at Book Martin Cafe. We sold over 20 books just hanging out, you know. And so thank you guys so much for the support. Hope you guys enjoy the book and books. Many of you kind of filling out your, you know, your collection, and I certainly appreciate that. Multiple people bought multiple books for multiple friends or loved ones. But I hope that you got everything you wanted for Christmas. If you didn't, you know, of course, we can take care of you. Still got buy one, get one free at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville, 662-268-7601. I think we got 20 floaters today. I think that's right. It's been busy. A lot of first-time floaters, too. A lot of you gave those gift cards for Christmas. Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, when my wife is happy, I'm happy, right? And when you guys, you know, frequent her business, it certainly makes her happy, which makes my life better too. Not to mention the fact too, it makes your life better to go and float. And of course, dutynoblebook.com. You can get all my sports titles and When the Bottom Falls there. And we're going to run, you know, the 50% off jeans page special here for a few more days. You know, so if you didn't get it for Christmas, or maybe you got some Christmas money, I don't know your needs. But if you are not subscribing to Jean's page, then you are not as informed as you should be about what's happening with Mississippi State. I had a friend of mine that messaged me. I say friend. He's a friend. And I took this as quite the compliment. He said, you know, Steve, every year I subscribe to Jean's page monthly just to get me through football season. You know, he said, I like when we're winning in baseball. I'm not a big baseball guy, not a huge basketball guy, so I don't follow it as closely. But I always subscribe in August, and then I pay my monthly sub every month until we get through the season. And he goes, if we don't have a bowl game, I typically cancel. Then I come back in August. We got some people to do that. We love them too. But he told me, he said, here in the last 3 years, he goes, I've just decided to just do the annual subscription rather than pay, you know, the monthly fee, which makes it a little more expensive. You know, you can just go ahead and take advantage of the 50% off. You know, you get the annual subscription price at half off. But he said, you know, he said, I was so disenchanted last year with how things went with football season. And he goes, you know, I think I'll hang around for the coaching search. And he goes, man, you guys killed it. Daily updates on the coaching search. And ultimately, we announced that Jeff Lebby was going to be the head coach at Mississippi State. I had it out there before anybody else in the media. And he goes, so this year I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, well, maybe I'll just cancel my sub. It's up for renewal. And I think maybe I just won't renew and I'll just come back in August. And he said, man, the portal coverage has just been outstanding. He goes, so I didn't. I renewed. And so I appreciate that. And he made a comment that some of my other friends think is kind of humorous. He said, I'm about ready to start call December Rosevember for Rose Bowl. Very nice. But yeah, we work very hard. I've got a great team. And I push those guys. I'm not going to lie, but I do push those guys. But those guys know that I love them. I don't just drive them. I lead them. I try to get out there and produce the most content each and every month. And everything they do is of great benefit to me and, of course, to you. But, yeah, we do about 10 stories a day. I think we've already got 9 today. We'll pump out a 10th one. But, yeah, we don't take a lot of time off. And we take this responsibility very, very seriously. And we believe you deserve the best coverage. We believe Mississippi State deserves our absolute best. And so we're going to give that to you. And that requires some sacrifice from time to time. You know, if I wanted to be off on weekends, I'd go get a 9-to-5. You know, simple as that. I work every day. And I love what we do. Very passionate about what we do. And passionate about all of you. I think you guys deserve better coverage. And when I tour around our industry, and I go look at the way other teams, you know, are covered, and I think to myself, man, there's just so much low-hanging fruit that they don't cover, you know. I mean, we picked up soccer this year. How much fun was that, you know? Now, granted, we had a historic team, but, you know, we cover road baseball. We started doing that, I guess, about 6 years ago, full-time. And more times than not, we're the only people there. Cover Mississippi State road baseball. And so, again, we take it very seriously. And I know some people that, you know, around our industry that say, hey, we'll just sit at home, we'll write a game or off what we see on TV. You can't ask the coaches a question from your couch. You can't ask a player to explain what he was thinking or what was called or, you know, what the scenario was, what his instructions were from the couch. And I think those are the questions that you guys want us to ask. And so it's important for us to be there. We take it very, very, very seriously. Speaking of important places to be, Bulldog Burger Company, if you're looking for a dinner or lunch or just a dessert date, you know, with friends or family or work colleagues, look no further than Bulldog Burger Company. Don't complicate your life, right? And you say, well, I don't know what I want today. Go to Bulldog Burger Company because chances are there's going to be something great on that menu that not only is going to nourish you, but you're going to enjoy. I don't just eat for survival. You know, I eat for enjoyment. I like to eat the things that I like. I mean, I'm getting older. I got to be a little more careful. And, you know, some people reach out and say, Steve, you're getting skinny. I'm really not. I'm just eating cleaner. But nevertheless, Bulldog Burger Company, 3 great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. It's one of the fine delicacies in life we afford ourselves. If you're not feeling like a burger today, you can get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. Whatever I get it, I get ranch dressing on it. You know, I'm from South Mississippi. It's a requirement for living. And also, too, you know, listen, you can get those sweet heat chicken sliders, those sloppy Joe sliders. Great lunch portion there. So there's always something new and fresh at Bulldog Burger Company. Great service, great food, great prices. Put your feet under their table. Let them take care of everything else. You deserve it. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let me get you caught up on what's going on in the world of Mississippi State football recruiting. And it has been a busy few days. It's like I go back and I think about, okay, all right, so Tuesday, right, that was a big day for us. Getting ready for Christmas Eve. And we pick up the commitment he was supposed to announce on Christmas Day. He changes gears and he elects to go with the Christmas Eve announcement. It's Fluff Botwell. We've been expecting that one from some time. And I, you know, I crystal balled him to state. I was the first person in the industry to do that. And there was a few other people that played follow the leader. And I had many people within the Mississippi State fan base were messaging me on Twitter and on Facebook. It's like, Steve, are you sure? Yes, I was sure. As a matter of fact, I was absolutely 100% positive. And what you guys may not know is that shortly after he returned from his visit to Ole Miss, he went ahead and signed his paperwork with Mississippi State. It was never going to be Ole Miss, ever, never. All right, so we pick him up, and if you don't know much about Fluff, I wrote a story yesterday called Growing Up Fluff, and you can check that out. I interviewed his mom, great lady. That's one of the cool things about my job, is it's not just getting to know the players, which is great, but kind of getting to know their families, getting to know their background. Fluff and his family, this time last year, it was Christmas Eve of last year, their house burned down. How terrible is that? I mean, you look so much so forward to the holiday season, and you go over and visit some family over in Huntsville, and you come home and your house has been burned down. It was a total loss, other than a few football trophies. That's it. And the family kind of rallied around each other. And then Tommy Bothwell, Fluff's dad, and Fluff and his brother, everybody gets together, some guys in the community, they help rebuild the house. So this is a young man that knows what it's like to lose something of significance in your life. He goes out, has a great freshman year at South Owl, 111 carries, 832 yards, 13 touchdowns. And you may not know this, and this is part of that article too. Fluff is tied for the Alabama high school record for scoring a touchdown in 23 consecutive games. That will get it done. We talked about how we needed a marquee back in this class. Well, here you go. We've known, you know, since the beginning of this recruiting cycle that we were going to take a couple from the high school ranks and then take a guy from the portal. He had three seniors this year. And so here we are, needing to replace those guys on a roster. And, you know, we got some news on Devin Booth. We'll share a little later in the show. But you go out and you get one of the best backs in the portal, a young man that I think fits us culturally. I think the family is outstanding. You have a chance to talk to them, get to know them a little bit. I think you're going to feel the same way. This is a Mississippi State young man. This is a Mississippi State family. And so all of a sudden, your running back room looks better. And, of course, you need a guy like Fluff, who still has 3 years of eligibility to work with, you know, for what that's worth these days. You know, because everybody's talking about going into portal and things like that. My hope is we get him here, he feels at home, we take care of him, he takes care of us, and he'll be with us the rest of his career. But you can't count on that. We all know that. But this was a very, very, very significant commitment. I cannot say it enough. What a big deal it was for us to get Fluff Bothwell. And, you know, visited Arizona, visited Cincinnati, visited Mississippi State, visited Ole Miss. So you beat Ole Miss head-to-head. And then, of course, Dave Johnson puts out that, hey, you know, Ole Miss wasn't willing to hit his asking price. So kind of split-level communication here. Basically, what Ole Miss is admitting is that we outbid them for a position of need player. And that should boost the Bulldogs' self-esteem, because many of you kind of compare everything we do to Ole Miss and the fact that we would go in there and get that guy. And it's so funny seeing the Ole Miss people rant and rave. They all thought they were going to get him. I crystal balled him, and people are like, oh, yeah, the writing's been on the wall. He's like, in the end, well, he just wasn't worth what we – you know, we were willing to pay. You know, what he was asking for wasn't worth what we think. You know, and they keep losing our running backs. Maybe they end up taking Wayman Jordan. We'll see. But Wayman Jordan, of course, from Hutch, the top junior college back in the country. We felt like we'd probably split those two guys with Ole Miss, and we may, right? But I think we got the better end of the deal. I think Wayman may be a little more explosive in the open field, but I think Fluff is a guy that was kind of built for the Southeastern Conference. Plus, I think the learning curve for Fluff, you know, ramping up from D1 football to SEC football is going to require a learning curve. It's not nearly as steep as it would be for a junior college player, and we have We've gone through this many times. You get a JUCO guy and it takes about a half year to a year for them to kind of figure out and acclimate life in a Southeastern Conference. So great get for Mississippi State. Then we pick up two commitments yesterday. Deron Reed Jr., better known as DJ, not a real talkative kid, but I got a chance to get him on the phone yesterday and had him kind of explain his decision. And he said in the end that he only visited Mississippi State. And he had opportunities to go elsewhere. He had opportunities to take other visits. He had opportunities to commit to other schools. And he just felt like, you know what? Mississippi State fits me. He is a depth piece. Okay, and I give Colonel Kang some credit here. The take of Deron Reed, this is not a guy that we're expecting to step in and start this year. He's 6'4", 285. But basically, this is a replacement for some guys that we've taken that proved to be misses. Guys that didn't develop for one reason or another. Maybe they had injuries or whatever. And so you take a guy like him who was a redshirt freshman. He redshirted in 2023 at Auburn, played sparingly as a reserve this year. You're basically just kind of filling that gap in the develop pipeline. You're not looking for this guy to come in and be a game one starter. That's not what we're expecting. But we're going to come in here and develop him. So I like to look at it through that lens. You're kind of like some of these backers that we've taken. And we got a couple guys we're really excited about. But the linebacker group that we had to play with last year was woefully thin from a talent standpoint. And that's not to be critical of anybody. That's just kind of the reality of it. We're going out there trying to compete in the SEC with some G5 guys. And then plus Stone Blanton, right? It's like Stone, as great as a teammate he is, he wasn't surrounded by a ton of talent in linebacker room. I think now he will be. We got some more beefier linebackers with greater length. And we talk about replacements. I picked up an interesting guy, Montrell Chapman, linebacker, 6'2", 230, prepped at South Panola. I don't know if you kept up with South Panola, but one of the better programs in the state for many, many years. And, so this is a guy, too, that had over 20 offers, mainly G5. I think Arizona and Mississippi State were the only Power 5 offers. But you're willing to take a chance on a guy like that that's from your home state. Not to mention we got a great relationship with the folks down at Perk. And, they'll tell us. 6'3", 230. Looking at his numbers here from his time at Perk. So in 23, he had 26 tackles as a true freshman. In 24, he had 74 tackles. And granted, that's JUCO. Okay, cool. Yeah. But a very active guy. We took Marcus Ross last year, was also a very active guy at East Mississippi. Didn't really have the size to play in the SEC. And he wanted to stay. And you hate that, right? When you get guys in, they don't sign themselves. But, I look at this as a junior college guy with, 2 years of eligibility. And we'll see what happens with this JUCO ruling as it kind of moves forward. But, Chapman, I think a good get. Again, not a guy that we're expecting to come in here and supplant Stone Blanton at Mike Linebacker, but a guy we expect to come in here and be a depth piece. He can play special teams for you. He can be a reserve guy and provide some depth. And if he eats up 15 snaps a game and saves a little wear and tear on the first team backers, that makes perfect sense to me. Not everybody we get is going to be a frontline starter. You have to build depth. You have to have some guys out there. You can't just get depth guys. I mean, you got to have some guys, too, that can be war daddies for you. Montrell Chapman, I like the take, and some people are like, hey, he's not rated high. Cool. Because if you think we're going to go out there and send a bunch of four-star linebackers out of the portal, you're kidding yourself. Those guys pay attention to who's doing what. You think we're going to go out there and replenish the whole room with a bunch of four-star backers at the portal? Number one, no, it's not going to happen. But number two, why would I go there? Like, I'm looking to start. I'm leaving a situation where I need more playing time. So why would I leave that situation to go somewhere else knowing that I will probably be a second-teamer? Simple as that. You wouldn't do that. So you're going to have to take some guys that are okay with that arrangement. It's like, hey, we think we can develop you, get you in here, give you an opportunity, play some special teams, run some second team backer for us, and you can compete for reps. Not everybody's going to be okay with that arrangement. It's important to understand that. Extremely important. But I like the take because I understand the context in which it's coming. Rayshon Thomas commits to Mississippi State today. The chatter yesterday is he was going to do it on Saturday. He elects to go ahead and do it today. And I can tell you, I've talked to Rayshon several times this week. I think you're really going to like him. You may not know this, but in 2023, Rayshon Thomas of Northern Illinois led all of FBS in tackles for defensive linemen. Maybe you were aware. You know, a lot of people just go look at last year's stats and say, oh, why are we taking this guy? Well, he broke his foot last year and had to have surgery in July. So he missed all of fall camp, had to kind of get back up to speed. And if you think it's fun, you know, out there running around, you know, chasing people with a bum foot, I suggest you go try it. But Rayshon's a guy at 6'4", almost 270 pounds. He had a Jones fracture, one of his feet. Had to have surgery to repair that. And so because of the injury, he says, you know what, if I'm only going to play in a handful of games this year, I'm not going to be 100%, I'm going to take a redshirt year, and I'm going to go in a portal and see if I can improve my draft stock. And so here we are. And I really dig this guy. I like his film. And if he can return to that 2023 form, and there's no reason to suggest that he won't, we have something here. Even if he's just a rotation guy, I think he got something here. This is a guy that's had a hand in a ton of tackles. A ton. I believe 9 tackles for loss in 2023. 74 tackles. I think that's right. Yeah, 74 tackles. Became the first defensive lineman in Northern Illinois history to lead the team in tackles. Now, that was the year, too, that Northern Illinois won the MAC. And let that sink in for a second. Like, so many people have talked about Isaac Smith, right? It's like Isaac Smith's got all these tackles. It's not a great thing when, you know, safety's leading you in tackles. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, Jonathan Abram was one of our leaders in tacklers. We had the number one defense in the country. But on that Northern Illinois team that won the MAC in 23, the leading tackler was a defensive lineman. And so using your logic and saying, hey, yeah, Isaac Smith's been ultra productive, but we don't need him. We need some guys in front of him to make those tackles. Well, here you go. Here's one of those guys. A guy that plays with relentless effort. I encourage you to go find the YouTube clips of him and kind of watch him. I think you're going to be impressed with what you see. And I'm eager to see what he looks like after being in the weight room for the spring and summer here at Mississippi State. You know as well as I do the nutrition program and the refinement we do to the physical frame is much greater than it is at Northern Illinois. So 4 commitments since we have been together. And I like them all for different reasons. We talk about we need game changers. Fluff Bothwell is a game changer. Darren Reed is a developmental depth piece. A guy that was one of the top defensive linemen in the South coming out of Carver High School there in Georgia. And so there's a lot to like about him. You know, there's been size, explosiveness. Maybe he just didn't come together for him at Auburn. Who knows? Change of scenery may be good for him. And then you get, Rayshon Thomas, a very productive guy throughout his career up until this year. And again, as soon as I said that we were offering him, people are like, oh, look at all these. He only played in a handful of games last year. Why wasn't he good enough to start? That's all they knew. Just a snapshot of the stats. They didn't understand that he was banged up less than 100%. He owed it to himself to take the redshirt year, even if he stayed at Northern Illinois, to give him an opportunity. This is a guy that could slot inside and play 3-tech. He could be 4-eye.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I could be 5. I don't think he lines up at a 7. I don't think he's an edge guy going to stand up in a two-point stance either. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Jaden Cromedy, except I think he might be a little more yoked up. Right? He doesn't have maybe the same girth. You know, Jaden, of course, had about 20 more pounds on him. But, you know, he's a guy, I think the skill set is similar in that respect. Very, very athletic guy. And then again, Chapman, you know, again, you've got to take some guys that are okay with a little bit of a reduced role in year one. It's like Montrell, you come in here and you learn. You work hard. In next year, you'll be in a position to potentially start. You got to come in here and earn that, though. And again, this is a Mississippi guy, giving him the opportunity to stay closer to home and play football in a Southeastern Conference. That's a good deal. Plus, not to mention, too, we talk about, you know, NIL is like, you know, cash moves everything around me, right? Especially in the portal. And when you have a chance to go out there and fill a position with a value pick and get some savings so that an NIL check you got to write, it gives you a chance to kind of load the boat for some other guys. You're not going to go out there and give a junior college guy a blank check. He's like, hey, here it is. You go in here, handle yourself. Maybe next year we write a bigger check, you know. And it's funny the way we're talking these days, right? So what's next for State? I wrote about that a little bit this morning. Will Whitson was initially planning to announce his decision on Saturday. He has now pushed it to Sunday. There is no cause for concern. This is a guy that, again, as I wrote about in the Bones today, I felt pretty good about him for a while. Then I was extremely confident. Then I got a little bit worried when Cincinnati got involved because he is a Cincinnati native. It makes sense, right? And in the end, you know, this is a guy that's got NFL aspirations. He had a very, very productive junior year. And much like Thomas, got banged up his senior year. And rather than kind of play through the pain and put himself in a bad situation, he's like, you know what? I'm going to wait till I'm 100%. I'm going to take the redshirt year. And maybe I go back to Coastal. Maybe I go in the portal. He goes in the portal. Now he's getting a chance to play in the Southeastern Conference. And so, expecting that to happen on Sunday, and then I think we're probably done on defensive line unless we can get a game wrecker. Speaking of those, Makese Grace out of South Dakota, going to take an official visit to Mississippi State as soon as the dead period's over. A guy that's connected to Diego Brumfield, who took a redshirt this year for Mississippi State and returned. You know, that's a big part of it. Because, well, he took the redshirt year so they go in the portal. Diego took the redshirt year to preserve his final year of eligibility and stay in here. So, you know, that's something to watch too. But also, Grace and Whitson are very close. So you throw in Diego too, and it's like you start beginning to think about, hey, there's the economics of this, and then there are some relationship issues. You can give those guys a chance to play together, hang together, you know, build some memories together. That's something that none other schools can offer. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to get Grace. I don't know yet. We got to see how the visit goes. He was scheduled to visit Ohio State. He's now canceled that visit and will visit A&M in Kentucky, Mississippi State, and perhaps Clemson. I don't think State takes another defensive lineman unless it's him or another game wrecker comes along. We're not going to take a guy just to take a guy. But one of the things that I can say with confidence at this point is that this Mississippi State defense next year is not going to get out there and get shoved around. How many times did you see it this year? And some of that, too, is because we were simply too small. We had some injuries to some guys that we were expecting some big things from. We had to run some guys out there that weren't physically ready to play in the Southeastern Conference. And as games wore on, we just couldn't stop the run. You know, and you start looking, we discussed this on the last show, you start looking across there, 6'4", 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", 280, 290, 300 pounds. We're not going to get shoved around out there. We may not always go out there and plug holes and force people to get on roller skates to defend us, but we're not going to get out there and get shoved around. I mean, how good could we have been this year if we had just been average on defense? I mean, just average. And so when you start thinking about this, do I expect this to be a top 20 defense? No. Number one, we're not done in the portal. We're going to talk some more about that you know, later in the show. But the steps that we have taken to get bigger and stronger at the point of attack in the trenches is to be admired. We had some guys early on that came in and visited, and people were like, I don't know. You know, and we didn't take those guys. We didn't. We took Nevaeh Sanders because he's a 7-tech guy that can impact the quarterback, and of course, former teammate of Rashawn Thomas. So that works out good for us. Two guys, we get two of their most productive defensive linemen. As I shared when Nevaeh committed, if you look at his pressures to snap ratio, it is as good as anybody in the country. He's a situational guy. But all of a sudden, you start working through this thing and say, I mean, how many times last year did we get into a predictable down and distance where we know they're going to have to throw the football? We get a third and long, and we have a quarterback just sit back there and sit back there and sit back there because we couldn't get pressure on him. Well, that's why you go get a guy like Nevaeh Sanders. That's a guy that's going to go out there and bring relentless effort. Hey, son, this is your role on the team. Anytime that we get out there and it's second long, third and long, go ahead and get your helmet on. We got to put you out there and chase that quarterback. I mean, how many times did we go through that? And how many times when we did get some pressure, was the quarterback able to tuck it and run because they were more athletic than some of our linebackers? I mean, you can let those nightmares kind of roll through your mind. And so Jeff Lebby and the staff are taking steps to correct that. But the thing that I think about more than anything else is, simply just being able to stop the run between the tackles. I mean, how many times this year you just have somebody fall down and trip and make a mess in the middle, just clog things up to give the backers a chance? And how many times did you look up there and you see poor old Stone Blanton having to fend off and get off the block and shed an offensive guard because there was no path of resistance in front of him? They snapped the ball. Next thing you know, the offensive guard's already at the second level. I mean, it's 6, 7, 8 yards every time. And so, yeah, I want to see Stone Blanton tackles go down. Not because I want his production to go down. I want the guys in front of him to play better. And that's what Stone wants too, I can promise you. Stone Blanton wants to get off the field on third down and go get him a swig of Gatorade. He didn't want to be out there on a 15-play drive that ends up you give up a field goal. You know, that's not what he wants. You want the guys around you to play better. And so when you think about defense, and everybody says it like it's some cliche, it all starts up front. I mean, I've read so much commentary about how bad the secondary was. And truth of the matter is, secondary didn't play that bad. It didn't. But it's difficult to judge what the secondary looks like when they got to defend 5, 6, 7 seconds. You can't cover that long. And how many times did we get beat on a scramble drill because we couldn't get a quarterback on the ground? I go back to the old Joe Lee Dunn days. You think about Joe Lee, right? His philosophy was this: you have 11, we have 11. One of yours is the quarterback. So we have a guy that's unattended that we can assign to your quarterback to go out there and give him 7 shades of unshirted hell. And so, yeah, we're going to come up there and press you and play man-to-man, and we're going to get in your face, and we're going to deny you inside leverage, and we're going to make you make decisions quickly. We did not have the ability to dictate terms to anybody defensively last year. And you think about the Tennessee game. And people forget that game. And we were expected to lose going to Knoxville, and we did. But how many, when the game was still in the balance, what did they do? They just lined up and gave it to Dylan Sampson because they knew we couldn't stop them. That's one thing. You go back to the old Paul Bear Bryant methodology, back in the 70s and 80s. He's like, there's three things that can happen when you throw the football, and two of them are bad. Your guy can catch it, their guy can catch it, or it can fall incomplete. So he's like, hey, if I can get 4 or 5 yards on first down, why would I ever throw the football? You begin to think about that aspect as it relates to Mississippi State's defense last year. Why would they ever line up and throw the football when we can't stop them on the ground? Right? I mean, think it through. And so now you put yourself in a situation where offenses have to play us a little more honestly because we've got girth. And now all of a sudden, there were so many people that were very critical of the fact that we were taking a couple of JUCO guys on the defensive line. Well, now it all makes a little more sense, right? We knew those guys were going to be depth guys. Try to tell you guys in, there is a plan. That plan is now being executed, and you're beginning to see things come to fruition. And so, again, by the time we get together again, we expect Will Whitson to be in the Mississippi State boat, and that'll give us 18 portal commitments, and you're probably looking at about maybe four, five more. I expect that we're going to get that a little later in the show, okay? We'll get to that a little bit later. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. I have to be careful with that every time. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. His phone number, if you don't know it right now, is 601-500-2344. Let me tell you why you need it. The dream of home ownership, rather than throw your money away just renting, paying somebody else's bills, making them rich, buy your own home, build some equity, have something in life that is sustainable. The dream of home ownership has eluded many, and many times it's because you choose the wrong loan officer, or perhaps you shop above your means. Get with Blair. Whether you're looking for your new home, your first home, or your retirement home, Blair can accommodate you. He is one of us. He's a season ticket holder in multiple sports. He's a place here in town. He's also got 24 years of experience in the mortgage industry. How great is that? Yeah, it is. Because of the fact he gets that know-how working for you. Nobody stays in any industry for 20-plus years by luck. Blair is your guy. Reach out to him, get that pre-qualification letter, know exactly what you can be approved for. Makes all the difference in the world. Whether you're looking to refi or buy, Blair Chandler at Close of Blair is the way to go. All right. I was jamming some Alice in Chains today. I texted my wife and I said, hey, do you remember when I had the band with Eric and Clay and Shelby and Billy? And she said, yeah. And I said, and we were going to cover some Alice in Chains stuff. She goes, yeah. I said, what was I thinking? You know, there are a few songs I may be able to pull out a low register, but Alice in Chains, man. I mean, Lane Staley, what a gift he was. And I got to thinking, I was jamming Wood, which is my favorite Alice in Chains song. I'm thinking, you know what? I love the bass intro on this. What if we did a top 10 songs with bass intros? So I sent it to Roy, and immediately he sends back, hey, what about this? And so we'll work that in too. But top 10 songs with a bass intro. Now we're going to start with the guy that it's really not my cup of tea, but he is one of the most innovative bass players of my lifetime. And that's Les Claypool from Primus. Could have gone a lot of different directions here. I decided to go with Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. If you're unfamiliar with that, I think it's on Pork Soda. You can check it out. It's on the same album as My Name is Mud, which was probably the biggest hit. But Jerry Was a Race Car Driver has a very interesting introduction. Number nine. A song that every Mississippi State fan should be familiar with. I was kind of bummed, to be honest with you, that we didn't use it for the intro this year. We changed it from Metallica's From Whom the Bell Tolls, that great intro from Cliff Burton, to Money for Nothing from Dire Straits. And I don't know whose idea that was. I don't like the idea, but nobody asked me. But I'm offering it to you as my opinion. Of course, I'm not going to write off a pithy letter, you know, or start a petition or anything like that. But I think From Whom the Bell Tolls fits us. I think Money for Nothing doesn't. That's just me. It's just me. But yeah, number nine, Cliff Burton, God rest his soul. All right, number eight, one of the best songs ever. And Steven Tyler wrote this song about Joe Perry's wife. So if you listen to the lyrics, you can kind of understand it's a bit of a diss track. I mean, you talk about things that nobody cares. You're wearing them things that nobody wears. He's talking about Joe's wife. I can't believe Joe was okay with it. But what an incredible song, Sweet Emotion. And Tom laying down the groovy bass line for you there in the very beginning. Number seven, this is one of the first songs I thought about as I began to compile this list. Wasn't sure where it would fit on the list. But for many of you, it was your gateway song to the thrash band Megadeth. You have to say it like that. It's a requirement. Megadeth. It's Peace Sells, off Peace Sells, But Who's Buying? And it's really a song about the times in the 80s. And it's so crazy. You know, you look back now, so nostalgic at the 80s. And there were so many things in life that were incorrect at the time. Of course, pop culture was amazing. Some of the best movies and music to ever come out of the United States came out during that decade. But Peace Sells, you know, and if you remember, those of you from the MTV generation, you had the MTV News, right, with Kurt Loder and whoever else was filling in. And that was the intro, was Peace Sells. All right, number six, I would be remiss if we didn't include this band. One of the best bass players ever, in my estimation. You may disagree, and that's okay. My opinions are not, I don't have to have the collective opinion to feel certain in my own opinion. Some other people do, but I don't. But it's the rock band Tool. Could have gone a lot of different directions here. But those of you that are familiar with the Tool catalog, you know exactly where we're going. That's right, Schism. How could you not love that song? Because I know where the pieces fit. Love that track, man. Love Tool. Love everything about them. So glad they released new music here in the last few years. Super, super glad that all that music is now available on iTunes. It wasn't available forever in a day. And they elected to do the new album and they released the full catalog. And my favorite Tool song, you want to take a guess? It's Vicarious. All right, number five, another one of my favorites. If you guys are longtime listeners to this show, you know the very first album, long play album that I bought with my own money, I remember like it was yesterday, I bought it at Fred's Discount Store next to Piggly Wiggly in Columbia, Mississippi. I saved up my birthday money for my 8th birthday. And I went in there and I bought Queen's The Game. And I bought it for the song Another One Bites the Dust. You know, Deaky wrote that song. If you've seen Bohemian Rhapsody, you see how it all kind of came together. I didn't know anything about sales tax. I just had enough money to cover that. So my stepdad had to give me a dollar to pay the tax. And of course, I had to go home and do some chores to work off that dollar. But that's how much I loved it. And it was just such a joy knowing I could listen to my favorite song whenever I wanted to. I didn't have to call the radio station to make a request and wait for 2 hours hoping they played my song. I could listen to it whenever I wanted to. You kids of today will never understand how frustrating that is to call a radio music DJ and hope they answer the phone and then you request a song and then they don't play it. Like, those are the things that made us want to take hostages. I mean, honest to goodness. That's the kind of thing that drove us crazy. All right, number four. We couldn't do rock music without a bass intro, without mentioning Lemmy from Motorhead. And so we got to go with the classic Ace of Spades. You know it. You love it. If you played Rock Band, you probably jumped around your living room to it. It's the Ace of Spades. And if you remember our boys in Flinghammer, they were so popular in Jackson, they did like this medley of The Devil Went Down to Georgia, and then they broke into Ace of Spades in the middle of it. Corey and those guys, Will was amazing. Amazing. Miss those Flinghammer guys for sure. Number three, kind of going a little classic rock band here, and one of my favorite artists of all time. I remember where I was. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when we found out that Greg Allman died. And I remember walking downstairs to eat breakfast, and they already had like a tribute to Greg up in the casino at the Hard Rock. So, hey, Mark, thanks for everything. But it's the Whippin' Post from the Allman Brothers. And a lot of you guys got introduced to this song with Bo Bice when he sang it on American Idol. Kind of gave the song new life. But how many times have we felt like we were tired of the Whippin' Post? You know, sometimes I feel like I'm dying. It's traditionally, you know, relationship type anxiety that brings that on, right? Number two, not a very technical intro, but you know this song immediately when you hear Michael Anthony come in. It's Running with the Devil off Van Halen 1. That's your number two track today. But number one, it's the song that inspired the list. It's Mike Starr laying down in the pocket, an incredible bass line, Alice in Chains, Wood. That's your number one track today. I think the world would be a better place if we recognize that Alice in Chains is the best band to ever come from Seattle. Maybe you see differently. And you can find some old footage of Alice in Chains before Jerry joined the band. They were a hair band. Lane was singing hair bands. So you can find it online. On YouTube, it's great. And there's Lane out there with the spiked up hair and all that kind of stuff. Very, very glam looking. And then things changed when Jerry joined the band. And those guys, in many respects, were kind of pioneers of modern day grunge. They don't always get respect for it. And I don't consider them a grunge band just because they were from Seattle. I think Alice in Chains kind of supersedes the genre. They were just a great rock band. Simple as that. I think they get lumped in almost unfairly with grunge because everybody's like, oh, the Seattle thing. You know, yeah, the Seattle thing. Yeah, I mean, Mudhoney was from Seattle too, but Mudhoney is not on the same level with those guys. You know, Green River, not the same band as those guys. I think Alice in Chains, you know, I think Van Halen taking them out on that tour really changed things. And of course, Soundgarden went out with Guns N' Roses. And that, again, just goes to show you the respect they had. I mean, while Kurt Cobain and those guys were playing pool halls, you know, Soundgarden and Alice in Chains were doing national tours with established rock acts. There's something to be said for that. I want to throw out a few honorable mentions here, speaking of grunge and Seattle bands. The great bass intro to Jeremy. And it's so interesting to go back and look at that. Like, Eddie Vedder wrote that song after reading about a young guy that went to the front of the class and killed himself. It's based on a true story. And you can find that, you know, story online and hear Eddie kind of talk about it. But he just thought about how horrific that was for everybody else involved. And he felt so bad for the kid. And he reminded of a time when he was younger and used to kind of pick on some kids. And so drew from some personal experience there. And as Roy points out, Seven Nation Army has to be on here. They played a Duty Noble. Maybe a little bit too much, to be honest with you. How about NIB from Black Sabbath? You got to get that on there, too. We got to get those guys an honorable mention. I don't like to do covers on these original lists, but I would be remiss if we didn't mention Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the intro that he does on Higher Ground. That's on the Mother's Milk album, I believe is correct. It's been a long time since I jammed that. And then, of course, Rage Against the Machine's Bullet in the Head. Yeah, Bullet in the Head. A lot of good stuff from Tim, too, on the Rage Against the Machine stuff and the Audioslave stuff. I don't know that he gets enough respect. Not a real technical player, but he kind of knows who he is and what he's about. So that's your top 10 list for today. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let me know, and we may just do them. The best way to do that is to communicate through Roy. It's Roy Samanthi, my friend, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. Just make it easy for yourself. Just subscribe to Roy's Spotify. You'll be in good shape. Yeah, for sure. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Stark Building Institution. We love Campus Bookmart. They love us. They love you. That's the best place to find Mississippi State merch. Be sure and check them out next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces or get your complimentary hug, you can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. And you and I both know that some of the people that loved you didn't get you exactly what you wanted for Christmas. Well, you are a big guy and a big girl. You can take care of yourself. If you didn't get that quarter zip or you didn't get that hoodie or the vest you wanted, take matters into your own hands. Visit them at campusbookmart.net and get that taken care of right away. Because you know as well as I do, your spouse is going to be like, baby, just get whatever you want. It's true. Take care of it. Be glad you did. Campusbookmart.net. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's left. And let's talk a little bit about this JUCO thing, okay? Now, as I shared with you guys, there were two players that appeared to be applicable to the class that may get the NCAA waiver. And I may get a little bit spirited about this discussion because some of you have irritated me today. I love all of you, but some of you make my head hurt, simply. So we knew that Kelly Akari and Davin Booth both appeared to fall under the class of players that would have the opportunity to get the waiver. I shared with you guys then and shared in the article that I wrote on Gene's page that Mississippi State officials were looking into it. Now, we get clarity on the waiver, and basically it says any player that went, whose JUCO career began in 2019 is not eligible for this blanket waiver. Well, that is Kelly Akari. And so Kelly tweets out today that he's declaring for the draft immediately before anybody understands the framework behind this thing. People start crapping on the kid. Here we go. I mean, it's like, this is our guy, okay? Kelly Akari is a Bulldog. He is leaving because he has to. He does not have the ability to come back. So he's letting the world know, I'm going in the draft. A lot of guys out there that are getting the waiver are going in the portal. Kelly wouldn't have the ability to do that either. So really his only alternative is to turn pro because he has no college eligibility left. Now that established, and this is one of the things that I get so irritated about. Like, you know, we share all these articles in the Facebook groups, and then immediately people don't read the article. They just read the headline. And then they come off with the hot take. This kid's stupid. He's going to be an undrafted free agent. He can't come back. And then our people, our fans, you know, we're supposed to be family, right? And again, I've told you guys, sometimes the players themselves aren't family because they elect to leave the family. But we are family, and we love Mississippi State. And then immediately, we get out there with our uneducated opinions. We can't even read the dadgum article. We just got to start popping off. And you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong in what you say, what you post. And then people are like, I don't know who's advising these kids. Well, what advice can you give a guy that no longer has college eligibility? Well, Steve, I didn't know. Well, if you took 5 minutes to read the article, I don't even think it took that long. It's a 500-word article. The time it took you to make that stupid post, you could have read the article and saved yourself some public ridicule and embarrassment. Not to mention the fact, too, what does that say about us? Oh, Steve, lecturing the fans, you're dadgum right I am, because you're wrong. Those of you that went out there and criticized this kid without knowing the facts, you're wrong. What you said was wrong, your attitude was wrong, and it's unbecoming of Mississippi State. And if I step on your toes, I hope it hurts. Truly. Because we have to be better than that. This is a guy that came out here and transferred to Mississippi State, chose up for some other schools, was banged up, and at times went out there and played hurt, trying to help salvage something out of this season. And then he finds out, maybe I've got a chance. As soon as they put the waiver out there, he tweets out a picture of him at the dog walk with the hashtag dog walk because he had every intention of coming back and played another year for you. And then he doesn't get that opportunity, finds it out, and says, okay, well, I guess I got to go pro. And then we got to go out there and criticize the kid. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Read before you post. There's so many people out here, it's like, we're just too busy to read. All you do is doom scroll and read all the comment section anyway. Why don't you educate yourself a little bit and read the article? And of course, there's so many people in the national media. You know, it's an evolving process, right? But there's so many people that went out there and they have mischaracterized this thing because they themselves didn't take time to do any research themselves. They just go fire off all these articles and it's not correct. And they're making it seem like everybody that's ever played in JUCO ought to have eligibility left. It's just not true. That's not what the waiver says. And as I shared with you guys, Mississippi State was looking into it, doing their due diligence to see what was what. Well, they've done it, and it doesn't apply to Kelly Akari. Now, it does apply to Devin Booth. He is eligible to return. We expect that to happen. We'd like to be able to get to close the business tomorrow and have the portal window closed so we don't have to worry about that at all. But yes, Devin Booth has the ability to play another year of college football, and we certainly hope and expect it to be at Mississippi State. Which, you pair him up with Fluff Bothwell, and you start thinking about that running back tandem, what you could have, because we talked about that too with Booth at the end of the year, before any of this was even on the radar. It was like, man, don't you wish you had him back for another year? Because the last half of the season, he kind of figured it out, what it took to play in the Southeastern Conference. Well, now we have that opportunity. And it changes the dynamics a little bit of our portal recruiting too, because this is a scholarship spot that you thought was going to be open is now potentially filled with another running back. So now you got to, you know, change your dynamics a little bit too, because we still have to stay under the 85. We have to be under 85 at all times. A lot of people ask that question, which is one of the things that I think is important to understand too. There may be some position groups that we don't fully address all the needs in December. You say, but Steve, why? Well, we have to be at 85 scholarships when everybody reports in January. And of course, you say, but Steve, I thought there's all this other stuff. And, you know, yeah, there's still those, what they call the collective scholarships that don't apply to the 85 because they're a partial deal, right? But it is important to understand that we may take some guys in December and then see what we have in the spring. And as other guys elect to leave, there's going to be some guys that go through spring practice and they're going to recognize, you know what, I'm not going to play here, so I'm going to go, right? There are some guys right now that are committed to staying that may go through spring practice and begin to recognize, you know what, I probably should go somewhere else. And as those spots open up, we may use one or two of those spots for a position group to kind of, you know, add some depth or potentially go out there. You know, never know what's going to be in the portal. So if we don't, let's say for an example, let's say that you think we should take, you know, three wide receivers. But we may not have room in the 85 to add three more receivers. You say, but Steve, we just found it on a car. We already expected that scholarship spot to be open. We don't gain anything by him leaving. We would have gained something if he'd been able to stay, but it also limits a spot in the portal hole moving forward. But let's say you think we should hire three receivers. And maybe you're right, but we may not have room for all three under the 85. So we may take two in December, and then if a spot becomes available, we take another one in the spring. You know, the portal is going to reopen April 16th and run through the 25th. So we're not officially done once we get to school in January. There will be some ebb and flow. It won't be nearly as busy, but there will be some ebb and flow post-spring. There will be some guys out there that like to move on. You know, Davin Booth is one of those guys. We didn't get him until last year, until the spring. And that was one of the things that we talked about is how great would it have been for him to have spring practice to kind of acclimate with his teammates and probably gets a better start to the year. So that's important to understand. There are going to be a couple of position groups because, again, we've got to be at 85 at all times when class is in session that we may do some adjustments with in the spring. Understand that this class is not going to be officially finished until we get done with the spring portal season. And, again, we don't expect a huge outgo of players, but there will be some. That's just the life and world in which we live in at these times. So, well, Steve, what do you think? Well, I've already told you guys, you know, now we're at, 17? 17 portal guys, is that right? Let me double check that. It's been so busy sometimes, it's easy to forget. Yeah, we have 27 official signees from high school and junior college and then 17 transfers. So we are at 44 new players right now out of 85 scholarships. And remember last year we had over 40 players too. We talk about flipping the roster. It's taken us about 2 years to do it. And so you begin to think about what's next. Well, we expect to add Will Whitson. That takes you to 18. And again, probably finishes the defensive line unless you can get a game record like McKeese Grace. But let's assume that we don't get him, okay? We want him. Love to have him. But let's assume we don't. You know, we still got to go get another offensive lineman, probably a tackle. As I shared with you guys before a few days ago, we needed a center, a guard, and a tackle. Well, we've gotten those. We've got three guys now. Need another tackle, okay? We do. We need another tackle and maybe a flex guy, you know, but I think you only take one more JUCO offensive or portal offensive lineman. That's what I think today. I may feel differently later. I think you got to get at least one wide receiver, maybe two. All right, so now all of a sudden that gets you to 21. What else are you looking for on defense? Well, you got to get a corner. You have to get a corner. Simple as that. You have to get a corner, at least one. And it may be a scenario, again, where you take one in December and then we reevaluate after the spring and check the progress of guys like, you know, Eli Canning and Kelly Jones. You know, and if we feel like, hey, they can hold the phone. Diego Brumfield, of course, be back. You know, we got some people coming back You know, a lot of people, we lose Bryce Pollock, and people are like, oh, we got to get three corners. I just don't think that's the scenario. So, again, I think, again, you add Whitson, get you to 18. You're done at linebacker. You get a corner, that gets you to 19. You get an offensive lineman, that gets you to 20. You get a couple wide receivers, that gets you 22. That's how I see it playing out right now. Right now. Spots are tight. Right? They're tight. And we're on a handful of corners right now. Dwight Lewis, you know, guy from Marion of the NAIA, that is one of the most highly coveted corners in the country in the portal. He is a guy that will announce his decision soon. State is in the mix there. State a finalist along with Arizona and Wisconsin. Coates recently went into the portal. A Mississippi native, you know. You know, that's part of the deal, right? That's, you know, we're trying to get guys to get, they're coming home, you know, trying to get some guys out here that, you know, makes a lot of sense to us. But, you know, Michael Coates Jr., originally from Biloxi, got family in Louisville, spent his JUCO ball at East Central, and signed with Nevada, one of the best corners in the country this year. And it's a Mississippi guy. So that's the guy that we're on. And so there's a handful of those guys out there that I think you just got to be patient. You know, we're not just on one guy. We're not just thinking, oh, well, this guy don't want to come here. Let's go find somebody else. You're recruiting multiple guys for that spot. And so that's something to kind of watch as we move forward. I mean, I honestly think if Dwight says, hey, I want to come, I think you're probably done at corner because I just don't think you have the spots. Not that I would necessarily consider it done, but I think you've got to get through the spring and then kind of reevaluate where you are. I think that's important to understand. And so that's where things sit, and that's what I expect. And, of course, the thing that I've learned about this portal thing is you never know. You know, and to be honest with you, I began to think about that when Matt Zenitz, who's my friend, first crystal balled Darren Reed Jr. to Mississippi State. I had not spoken to Reed. We hadn't been able to get him on the phone. He's not a big talker. But you know, if you read the interview, you'll see. He's just not a big talker. But I began to wonder. When I first saw that, I was like, well, I wonder if that means that things are not going good with Thomas and Whitson. Maybe I don't have the right read on this. And then you start thinking about our needs here. Well, now you're like, yeah, we needed to get all those guys because they're really not similarly situated. Reed, of course, a redshirt freshman, will be a redshirt sophomore at State, is not ready for the throes of the game, right? He's the guy that's going to have to learn. You know, you're going out and getting Thomas and Whitson as plug-and-play guys to make you better this year. And so the needs are not exactly the same, right? So it makes perfect sense. You got to get depth. You got to get guys that can start. And then we'll kind of begin to move forward with that. That's the thing that's so important. There was a plan in place. And again, some people were so critical of our junior college class. But I tell you what's interesting. You know, we talk about sometimes I'd rather be lucky than good. You know, you think about all these junior college guys that we've got and that we've signed. You know, what if this NCAA legislation changes and they just decide, hey, the JUCO years don't count? Well, now all of a sudden you have the ability to have these guys for more than a year or two, you know, unless they decide to go get in the portal. But it could be a game changer in that respect, just kind of stumbled into that, right? You get into a scenario where it's like we go heavy JUCO. And then what if the NCAA loses this lawsuit and there's new legislation that says, hey, those guys have 4 years of eligibility. And now you're thinking about that aspect of it. You know, it's incredible to think about that. I mean, what a stroke of luck that would be. You know, that's important to understand, too. And again, nobody knew in advance of this. It's not like Jeff Lebby sitting around as some evil mastermind saying, hey, let's load up with junior college guys because they may end up having 4 years of eligibility. It would just be one of those things that's kind of a happenstance that could be beneficial to Mississippi State. Of course, some of those guys aren't going to pan out. Some of those guys are going to hit the portal, you know, at some point if you give them 4 years of eligibility. But all of those JUCO guys now, you guys aren't upset about it because now there's context. Now you understand those guys were taken to be depth guys. They come in here and work hard. It potentially could be a bigger factor in 2026, but we had to get bigger and stronger at the point of attack. That's a very important aspect of all of this. We had to get bigger and stronger. We had to allocate more scholarship spots for defensive linemen. We had to kind of clean out our closet and linebacker room and say, hey, let's be critical and let's be honest with ourselves. How many of these guys are going to be able to play Southeastern Conference football? If they couldn't play this year, what are the chances of them playing next year? And if you go look at the snap counts for those guys that left us, you know, many of those guys were just riding the scholarship rolls. And again, they don't sign themselves, you know, but it just some guys, you sign them and they don't mature the way you'd hoped they would. And so now you go out there and you get a different brand of athlete. And it's so interesting, too. You know, we talk about, you know, that was the big thing. Oh, we're not getting enough Power 5 guys. And then we go get some Power 5 guys that maybe haven't had the opportunity to play as much. And so now we're critical of that, too. I mean, there are just some people I think we're always going to find something to complain about. But, again, looking back at this, of the 17, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of those 17 come from Power 5 programs, 9 of those from the Southeastern Conference. So those guys should know how to work when they get here. They should understand what's expected of them when they get here. So again, that learning curve not nearly as steep for those guys. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're looking to bring a large group to Stark Vegas, whether it be a midweek ballgame trip, a weekend ballgame trip, whatever it is, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. We can't wait to get there. Just a few days, we'll be hanging out there for a couple days. Have all the kids under one roof, all the grandkids. We have a lot to celebrate as a family. I'm sure you do too. And so whether it's a, you know, bachelorette weekend, a baby shower weekend, or just a chance to get everybody together and celebrate Mississippi State, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is for you. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus and just, you know, reasonable driving distance to all your favorite restaurants, neatly positioned there off 182. It's quiet. You've got the one neighbor. We don't want you throwing a rager, but I'm just kind of giving you an illustration of how much peace and quiet you'll have out there. Not going to be a bunch of racket out there, and we don't want you to cause any. Plenty of parking. It's a great facility. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse. 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. The great fire pit area outside, the big back porch, the wet bar, the full service kitchen, everything you need to just have a great time together. And I can already smell those cinnamon rolls that I know that that mama's going to cook that first morning. Because, you know, moms love to cook for their babies. You know, you love to be able to do that. You love to be able to take care of them and show them that you love them. You know, my wife is an acts of service type person. And so that's the way I'm, you know, dad's the words of affirmation guy, you know, but she's the one that likes to do things to show her love for the people in her family. And so I can't wait to see her there and have the opportunity to kind of take care of everybody and just enjoy us being a family. You need to take the leadership role in your own family and plan that out yourself. And you'll be glad you did. So when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page auto-populates, and then you have the opportunity to peruse their Facebook page and all the pictures to see all the amenities available to you and your guest. And also some booking options come up. You can go Airbnb, you can go VRBO. It's up to you. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10, and get 10% off your stay. Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, we got some basketball coming up. I hope you guys are excited about that. Guys, I'm still not over the win over Memphis. I mean, not just the fact that we went up there and won, but the fact that we went up there and just kind of pulled their pants down. That's a proud program. I mean, it truly is. I loved Penny and Little Penny and Tyra Banks. I loved all that stuff. You know, I thought it was great, but you know, loved Blue Chips, all of it. But, yeah, it's such a statement win because Memphis is held in such high regard, and they love basketball up there. I mean, and they've been one of the better programs in the South, you know, for as long as I can remember. It's true. You guys know that it's true. And so, but it's time for us to move on. We will get together on Monday, 8 p.m. tip against Bethune-Cookman. We may spend a little time on this Monday, but this is a game, again, final non-conference game before we get into SEC play, and a game that we certainly expect to win. But, you know, we've had some nights in the hump against, you know, less than stellar competition, or we've come out a little bit lackadaisical, you know. And I don't know if you know this, but the rallying cry of Bethune-Cookman is Hail Wildcats. You learned something today. You did. But looking at the Wildcats, 3-9 this year, 2-9 away from their home arena. They've only played one game at home. Isn't that nuts to think about? You're 12 games in, you played one game at home. Who knows what's going on with that? But, yeah, it hadn't been a good year for them. They did beat South Florida in Tampa. How about that? That's pretty impressive. And last game was a loss to Davidson. But, yeah, you know, looking through here, they have played some decent competition. They open up with a loss at Texas Tech. They go to Nebraska and lose. They lose at Purdue-Fort Wayne. That's not a good loss. South Carolina State, they beat them 75-62. They lose at Tulane. They beat North Dakota down in Cancun, Mexico. We could all go down there and go to Boom or Chili Willy's. If you know, you know. Gardner-Webb. They lose to them by 15. They go to Minnesota. They lose. They lose at Virginia. They lose at West Virginia. They win at South Florida, and they lose at Davidson. But again, you look at here, I mean, hey, aggressive scheduling in the non-conference for the most part. Tip of the cap for that. And, of course, we'll welcome them in. You know, your Bulldogs 19, I guess is correct right now. You know, no telling what will be on Monday. But, yeah, I mean, this is a game, you know, we expect to win, but we need you to be there. It's been a while. We've had a chance to celebrate, you know, victory in Humphrey Coliseum. Not that we're not winning. We're 11-1. But reality of it is that we're going to see – we're getting a rotation here where we're going to have a lot of games in a short period of time. You know, you're not going to have these big hiatus. You know, you're going to play Tuesday, turn around, play again on Saturday or Sunday. But, yeah, Bethune, the Cookman, the Wildcats, averaging right at 64 points a game, giving up 75. Shooting percentage, about 40% from the floor. Shooting pretty well from beyond the arc, too. And maybe not so much, right at 31%. Free throw shooting about 69%. That's always nice. Rebounding, pulling down 32.5, but they're getting out-rebounded about 8 boards a game. You know, there's no point in us going through and belaboring all this stuff. Again, if we show up and don't play, it's nobody's fault but our own. The name to know with them is Breon Freeman, averaging 16 points a game, leads them in most statistical categories. He is a senior guard from Oxon Hill, Maryland, by way of Huntington Prep. Wears number 2. You know, that'll be an interesting matchup considering how handsy we are at the guard position. Trey Thomas, a guy, too, that has been pretty good for them, averaging just over a dozen points a game. He is a junior guard from Washington, D.C., by way of the Spire Institute, 6'2", 185. And then Reggie Wade, Jr., the only other starter in double figures, is a 6'6", forward, wears number 15, by way of Chicago, Illinois, from Curie Metro High School. But, yeah, it is what it is. They do have a shot blocker that's interesting, too. Jesus Carolero Martin with 23 blocks on the year. He is a 6'7", 225 graduate student from Malaga, Spain. And again, you consider the competition they played against, and the guys put up some pretty big numbers. That'll be a little bit interesting for us. How do we handle a guy with that girth, you know, down in the post? And what's interesting, too, you know, he's a guy that's got 17 steals, too. So that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it truly is. And the leading rebounder on the team is Reggie Wade, the forward there. But, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, a true five guy, and maybe not a guy they run a lot of post offense through, but, you know, a guy that, you know, we may not be able to match up exceptionally well with him. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what, you know, what Chris Jans cooks up. I mean, I always got confidence in Jans. I expect us to have a chance to win every game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, it's a great feeling. And it doesn't matter what sport is. It is. When you get out there, you have an expectation to say, you know what, we're going to be in every game. And we just need the right guy to get hot. and have a different hero every night. But we have reached a point in men's basketball where I think our fans feel like, hey, we can compete with anybody. And that's one of the things, too, when I think about, you know, the way this NIL thing is working, you know, and sometimes working against us and the commitment that we've had to make from a football standpoint. You know, you start thinking about basketball. I mean, really, you know, one recruiting class can change so much. You know, a couple big portal players can change the trajectory of your program. It's not like in football where you got to go out there maybe get a dozen guys, you know. But you can go get a couple of big players out of the portal, and it can change some things. Now, granted, as great as things have been, we have not won an NCAA tournament game yet. I suspect that changes this year. It's been a while since we've won an NCAA tournament game, as you guys are well aware. But I think it's okay to believe. This team is fun to watch. They're very likable. And you can look at them and tell in their body language how much they enjoy playing together. That really hadn't always been the case. And I think a lot of that, too, is Chris. I think, you know, Jantz is just one of those guys that goes out and coaches his team. He doesn't worry about optics and things like that. We had a discussion about, you know, coaches like that. You know, some people say, well, you know, some people are stubborn. And I say, well, most coaches are. And one of our coaches, if I can say it, what am I saying? One of our coaches, our former coaches, not at Mississippi State, but a former state player, he goes, you know, I think a lot of it's not necessarily stubbornness. It's just a belief in what you do. You know, having confidence in what you do and your way of doing things is what some people kind of misinterpret for stubbornness. But I think Chris Jantz is one of those kind of guys who's like, hey, this is my system. This is what works for me. I know how to build around this. And he has. All right, switching over to the women's side here. Ladies back in action on Sunday, and we encourage you to turn out for this. And again, it's been forever and a day since the ladies have been there. They'll take on South Carolina State, 1-14 South Carolina State, lost 13 games in a row, and it has not been a very aggressive or an impressive non-conference schedule. They have lost to some teams that are pretty paltry. I would say maybe the toughest team they played to date is Coastal Carolina. That was their last game, and they got drilled 104-58. This team is not playing well. It should give us a chance to empty the bench. So if you want to see your favorite player, good chance they're going to play on Sunday. So we encourage you to come out and be a part of that. Again, the numbers here are terrible. I mean, they're averaging 48 points a game. That's it, 48 points a game and allowing 70. I mean, it's a blowout every time I take the field. I take the court, pardon me. They don't shoot it well. They don't rebound it well. There's just not a lot to like about this team. They've got 243 assists. Their opponents have nearly doubled that with right at 450. I mean, in every metric, this team is not good. And so we got to show up and play. And I know that our ladies are going to be excited to be back in Humphrey Coliseum. It's been forever and a day. But Morgan Beecham is the leading scorer here for South Carolina State at 8.2 points a game. They don't have a single score in double digits. They have two at 8.2 and one for 8 points and one for 7.9. So pretty balanced scoring in that respect. They're just not scoring much at all. But Morgan Beecham wears number 3. She's a grad student out of Orlando, Florida. Jordan Relaford, a 5'5 guard from Decatur, Georgia, has been pretty good too. And, you know, rebounding has not been a strong suit. But the top rebounder is Cassandra Cologne out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But at the end of the day, there's no point breaking down the game, getting all excited about that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is that, you know, we got to go out here and take care of business. It doesn't matter who's out there. We got to go take care of business because, you know, the woods get a little thicker from here on out, as you guys are well aware. And as I've shared many times, we are not getting any breaks when it comes to the SEC start. So I don't want you to, you know, jump on this team and say, oh my gosh, you know, we start out 0-2, 0-3 in the conference and the season's over. But we're going to earn it. I mean, if we're 500 after six games, we have done really well. We just need to find a way to finish in the top half. And listen, I get it. Non-conference RPI, not great. We have not played a lot of teams. I mean, you look at, you know, the Utah game, the South Florida game, Georgia Tech. Those are games you look at and say, okay, but a lot of these other non-conference games, not great. But, you know, we're going to open up on January 2nd. It'll be before you know it, right? Because it's next Thursday. We're going to Kentucky, a place that we have taken some great teams, even in Vic Schaefer years, and come home with a loss. Got to go up there and play. And it was a miracle last year that we won. But we did. And then they came down here and beat us. But or it was in a tournament. I can't remember which. But January 2nd, we go to Lexington. And then we welcome South Carolina. That's a Sunday game, 1 p.m. It's okay to go to the early service and come on to start. But we're going to need you there. We need a capacity crowd. January 5th, of course, the dead period is going to be ending for the portal, so things will kind of pick up again for us. But and then we host Oklahoma. So we got a couple of really difficult games against top 10 opponents in our first three. All first three SEC opponents are all ranked in the top 15. Then we go to Georgia. And then we go to Knoxville and place another top 15 team. And then Ole Miss will come to Starkville on January 19th. So again, don't bail on Sam Purcell and the ladies if we don't get off to the hot SEC start. If we do, I think there's room for a lot of confidence and optimism about the rest of the game, the rest of the season. So we're excited about that, as you should be as well. Sometimes I spend our last few minutes together and talking about things I think are somewhat poignant. And I don't know if you guys have kept up. You know, I'm from Columbia, Mississippi. And I wasn't always proud to say that. And it's because of how I left town. You know what I'm saying? I left under some difficult circumstances. And writing books kind of allowed me to kind of heal some of those holes in my heart about my hometown. And I remember the very first book signing that I did. I didn't want to do it. My agent's like, no, we got to go to your hometown. I was like, no, let's do it in Hattiesburg. Anybody that loves me will drive to Hattiesburg, which is kind of narcissistic, but it was really one of those things I just thought to myself. I just didn't want to go back there. And the only time I really ever went back was just to see family. But things have changed in the last few years. That very first book signing, it was a guy waiting outside, and as soon as he walked in, he said, Steve, we're all so proud of you. And it made me realize that I had wasted a lot of energy being bitter about all that stuff. And so now when I go home, I'm embraced. And a lot of it's because I'm a different person today. I left, as a guy that was kind of on his last legs, and I've kind of returned as a conquering hero. And so, I enjoy going back, and I keep up with what's happening in Columbia. Even though Starkville is home, Columbia will always be my hometown. I was born in Canton, raised in Columbia. So I've got a lot of homes. But there was a tragedy for Luke Davis. And he was the kicker at Columbia High School. And on Christmas Eve, they're riding down a country road, him and I believe his girlfriend, I believe is correct. And they had a car accident, and they didn't make it. Luke didn't make it. And one of Luke's dreams was to hopefully kick on the college level, and he was hoping that Mississippi State was one of the schools that would offer him the opportunity to do that. And I share that with you because, you know, one of the things that I struggle with the most in life, and there's not a whole lot that I'm not willing to accept. That's one of the things that the long-term recovery has taught me is that acceptance is everything. You know, and it teaches that in a big book in the Old Texts, page 449, about how, you know, that my acceptance is directly proportional to my serenity. Like if I'm willing to accept, you know, the things that I cannot change, accept them as they are, chances of me being happier are much greater, right? But one of the things that's difficult to me is when young people die. And I've shared this with you guys before. David Turner, defensive line coach at Mississippi State, after we lost Keith Joseph Sr. and Keith Marchand Joseph, when we lost them, it was very difficult for me because I had grown really close to Keith Sr. And I'd been down and covered Keith Jr. at some games. And every time I saw them, Big Keith always came up and hugged me. And it was very difficult. You know, it was very difficult because I thought, you know, here's a situation where Big Keith is getting to see his son play at Mississippi State and how special that was. And I called David Turner and I said, Dave, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I'm struggling with this. I can only begin to imagine how difficult it is for you. And Dave, of course, is a man of faith. And Dave said, you know, Steve, the only thing that I've realized about this sort of stuff is that God makes no mistakes. And so when these things happen, and I don't know if you're a person of faith or not. I don't know. And I'm not judging you if you're not. Okay. But I believe that it's difficult to get through life without thinking there is some type of higher power, no matter what you choose to call that. But I choose to call it God. But and I heard, you know, as we're having that discussion, you know, it kind of hit me. It's like, you know, we always talk about, you know, we want God's will to be done. It's true. That's what you want. And so if something like this happens, it kind of changes, I guess, our ideal of what we how we think things should go. And so when those things happen, I remember that conversation with DT. God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. God's will is perfect. And again, I'm not going to sit here and preach to you, but again, I think life is a lot easier when you believe in the higher power concept. But when these things happen, this is one of those things that I always struggle with. Is, you know, why did this happen? You know, where does this fit in this grand plan? You know, and then I think about that life is not fair. And fortunately for me, that's true. Because if life was fair, I would be the one that died as a teenager. And it would be my mom that was heartbroken. And it would be my friends that were going to be my pallbearers at a funeral. Because I don't know Luke. I don't know him other than the fact that he played at my high school on the same field that I played on, walked down those same hallways, wore the same school colors that I wore. And so I feel a bit of kinship because these are my people. Even though I have never met them, these are my people. And so I share all of that with you as another reminder that we need to love one another. We do. And there are a lot of mamas out there that are hurting, and that's the thing I think about too. It's never a good time for this to happen, but to happen on Christmas Eve. I mean, how do you have Christmas? And then every year there is the annual reminder. They were on the way home to come open gifts, and they never made it. That's a difficult thing to live with. And there's nothing you can do or say to change any of that. You know, it's like I heard somebody say recently, and it's like, you know, I had to go to this. I went to Stan Horton's visitation. You guys remember Stan? He was so popular on Twitter, and it's a horrific accident on Memorial Day. And I had to go make a presentation to those kids. And Mississippi State provided those two children, you know, with signed baseball jerseys. And nobody knew what was going to happen. And I go and bring them the jerseys, and I remember thinking, you know, what do I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. What do you say when no matter what you say is not sufficient? And somebody that loves me said, it's not about what you say. It's about how you make them feel, to make them think that you understand, and I get emotional thinking about this, is that you share in their grief. And so I've had to deal with a lot of that here as of late, but the only thing that I can think of to share with you all is that when bad things happen in your life, I care. I do, even if I don't know, and one of the things that I do every single day is I pray. I pray for the still suffering addict. I pray for the families that love them, and I pray for all of you. And when I first began to pray again in recovery, because I was so incredibly estranged from church and from, you know, from God and, you know, organized religion and everything else, I just didn't want anything to do with any of that stuff. And if you've read When the Bottom Falls, I wrote extensively about that. But my sponsor was like, hey, I want you to pray every day. And I'm like, what am I praying for? I don't believe in any of this stuff, you know. He said, I want you to pray every day because it's going to get you in the habit of kind of acknowledging that your own weaknesses. And you're going to find, too, some reliance on something greater than yourself. And one of the things that I had to pray for every day was for my enemies. That's one of the things I was required to do. I said, Steve, I want you to pray for your enemies and pray that God will give them the things you want for yourself. And it's so powerful when I look back in hindsight. Because I was like, there's no way. And guys, I'm a grudge holder, right? I'm the kind of guy too. It's like, if you shoot a bottle rocket at my house, I'll drop a nuclear warhead on yours. I'm just that kind of person. You know, I can be a very vindictive person. Ask my enemies. Check the stats, right? But that's one of the things that I began to do is when I began to kind of pray for these people, I began to kind of realize too that I felt the bitterness and resentment in my heart begin to soften. And I began to recognize how foolish all of that was and how much emotional energy that I was wasting by simply hating and being bitter about those kinds of things. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. And that's one of the things that I guess long-term recovery has taught me is that, you know, people can hate me all they want. I don't have to hate them back. I don't have to let them have any access to me or rent any space in my head for free. And it's one of the things, like when you see people go out there and say some harmful things about me on social media, I don't respond to it because it just doesn't register with me. It doesn't, because what they have to say is just simply not important. What matters most is the people that love us and the people that we love. And I choose to love everybody as best I can. I do. Now, you know, am I competitive? Yeah, you better believe it. As competitive as they come. But at the end of the day, I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be successful. But if you're going to plant your flag in something, plant it in love. Because as I've shared many times before, you know, happiness comes in small doses. There is a difference between being happy and being content. You know, happiness is a passing emotion. And I heard a guy say this in a meeting. I don't know the root of it or where it came from. But he said this, and it's always stuck with me. I thought, number one, how incredibly beautiful the way he said it. But number two, how important the message was. And we were having this discussion, and I was having some trouble being comfortable in my own skin. And he goes, Steve, I hope that you reach a point in your life that wherefore you are, you shall be content. That has always stayed with me. And that's what I chase in life. It's not happiness, because happiness is fleeting, but to be content and to be comfortable in whatever circumstances or surroundings that I find myself in. May God bless each and every one of you. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.